produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Now tuned into the CEO Mindset with your amazing host, Nicole Gates, with trending topics to empower, encourage, and equip the female business leader.
Well, hey, it's Saturday, CEO Saturday to be exact, and I am joined today by the mistress of mixology. She is the life of the party, Miss Nadia Perry. Thank you for joining us today. How are you?
Hey, thank you so much for having me. I'm great today.
Awesome. So, Nadia, I know you are the CEO of Two Chicks and a Bottle. I absolutely love the name. But share with our listeners today, because we have listeners from all over the world listening to the CEO Mindset today, share with us a little bit about Nadia, a little bit about Two Chicks in a Bottle.
Okay, well, I am Nadia, so by day I am a wife, I am a mother, and after five I am a full-time business owner with Two Chicks in a Bottle. Basically, Two Chicks in a Bottle, we are a mobile bartending service. We're all female staffed at the time. Here in Tennessee, it's about 1, 2, 3. It's a total of 13 of us here in Tennessee. And then we're starting out in Georgia, where we have three ladies there, and then our next stop will be Texas. Basically, what we do is we come, we take care of all of your bar needs. If you need servers, bartenders, then that's what we do. We kind of take the stress off of you to make sure that you and your guests are having fun, and then, you know, just creating crafty cocktails for you and your party. So if there is two or more, then we consider that a party.
That's so awesome. So what? How did you come up with the idea to do mobile bartending? Because I know a lot of people go to school. I actually went to school for bartending many, many years ago, and I absolutely loved it, but I did it for a different reason. I did it because I was doing event planning at the time, and I had to hire bartenders. So I did it so I would have the background knowledge more so than actually bartending. But I love the idea of a mobile bartending service. How did you come up with that?
Well, actually, back in 2007 is when I started bartending, and I was bartending, you know, working in different clubs or different establishments doing it. And then I just didn't really want to be tied down to a schedule because, you know, I had a full-time job as well. And the point of me picking up the bartending job was to make additional money. Once I saw how much money that you could make doing this, I was like, well, maybe I could do it in a different type of setting where, you know, I didn't want to work in, like, in a club anymore. So I wanted to change up the setting. And so I started off, like, really small. It was maybe only 20 people there, but they, like, loved me. They was like, well, this is something that you should really do. And so I kept on, and then as I built my clientele, I kind of thought about it. I was like, you know, I'm sure that there are other women who want to make additional money, you know, without being stuck down to a traditional job. And so that's what kind of made me start outsourcing, because I was so busy. So I started getting other ladies to help me, which the name came with the Two Chicks was because originally I asked a friend of mine if she would want to do it with me. She's a nurse, so she's always busy, so she ended up not being able to do it with me. So that's where the name came from, the whole two chicks, was because it was originally supposed to be me and another one of my female friends. But I think that the business is very lucrative. That's why I wanted to turn it into a full business, because you can kind of control your environment as to what type of parties you want to do, whether it's from corporate events or a small event from, you know, backyard party, or even down to promotional events for clubs and everything. Like, we kind of control that climate. So that's why I decided to become a mobile bartending, because it's something new every day. No party will be the same, and it's a lot of fun, you know. And the whole point of being at work, you know, you want to love what you do, and I absolutely love it. I love watching others have fun. So that's the whole concept behind Two Chicks in a Bottle.
And I absolutely love the idea that, you know, you looked at it and said, man, this is a lucrative business. You know, I can take this and I can kind of roll with it. And then not only that, you created opportunities for other women. I absolutely love that, and I think that's what it's all about. So when you started the business, though, what challenges did you face?
When I started the business, the challenges I faced was I had never run a business. That was the main challenge. Although I'm surrounded by entrepreneurs, my father is like a massive entrepreneur, but I had no clue. I didn't understand about balancing everything. I just felt like, okay, I'm going to run over here and I'm going to make some money, and then I'm going to go to work, and then when I get through, I'm going to run over here and make some more money. You know, so I just had to learn the whole balance. I had to learn also with my business that I had to treat it like a business and not as like a side hustle. And I think a lot of times that we take our talents and we just try to hustle to make some quick money, but if you want to run a business, it's way more steps to it than just going to make some quick money. So I had to learn how to actually create a real business model, and I guess that was my biggest challenge, learning to separate, you know, well, this is business, and just because my cousin is throwing a party, if I'm running a business, then I can't do your party for $20, because this is a business, and I do have to balance things, and I have, you know, supplies to purchase and everything else. So that was one of my biggest challenges, learning how to run it as a business and not as a hustle.
Yes, indeed. You know, and I think a lot of CEOs that are listening may be dealing with that right now, and I know sometimes family, what do I say about family? Family sometimes will look at it like it's a hobby, and girl, you should hook me up because I'm your cousin, or you should hook me up because I'm your auntie or whoever, you know, and it doesn't work that way. Business is business, and I do agree you do have to run it as a business. So I appreciate you saying that and sharing that with our listeners, because I think that somebody out there is probably dealing with that right now, you know, and really struggling with how to handle family and friends sometimes, even, you know. We always want the hookup. We don't want to pay what it's worth. And I'm like, no, it doesn't work like that. Because you know what? If you hired another service, you'd have to pay them. So we need to get that same respect. So I appreciate you actually, you know, sharing that with the audience. So talk about some of your greatest accomplishments. I heard a couple of things that I said, wow, I didn't even know that you had that much going on. So you have all of these ladies working for you, I heard that, and then I heard the expansion that you're having going on. So I am absolutely loving that. But would you consider those your greatest accomplishments, or was there something else?
I think one of my greatest accomplishments was moving, you know, getting people from different areas to want to join our team. I think that is huge. And something else is, you know, how to have people from out of town reaching out to me, asking me, you know, if we can come do this or whatever. But because of the licensing part, if we're not licensed in the state, then we can't. So that's unfortunate, but I just think that that's really good that other people other than just the local people are hearing about us and they want to either join our team or use our services. So I love that part about it. Also, something that I'm working on and I really hadn't shared, but I'm planning to launch like just a crash course for people who want to learn how to bartend. It's not going to be like the traditional formal bartending school. It'll be a one-day crash course where we can just show you just like proper bar basics and procedures. So I think that that's huge, and it's probably one of the biggest things that Two Cheeks and a Bottle has to offer for now. But we're definitely in the kitchen working on some other things as well.
I love it. I love it. And, hey, why not take the crash course? That is really cool. You know, I know for me, just being a single mom, you know, I was always looking at what skills do I have that are marketable, you know. And I think for somebody out there, that might be a skill that they already have, or maybe they're already doing it for their own parties or own entertainment. Why not take that class? You got to make sure you give us information on that when that happens. Definitely, we would definitely want to hear about that. So for a CEO doing the things you're doing, very innovative, very creative, and empowering to other women, what advice would you give to women who are wanting to start a business or may already be in business, maybe not the same type of business, but they're in business and they may be struggling, they may be stuck where they are right now. What advice would you give to them?
I would say just do it, go, start without regret. Sometimes we ponder on things too long or we talk ourselves out of things or we kind of listen to the people that are around us or like look at social media or, you know, and just kind of get discouraged and feel like, oh, this is not a great idea. But I think that everyone, every idea was once a not-so-good idea to someone. And there's somebody out here that's a billionaire off of that not-so-good idea. Or even if you feel like, well, it's a million people already doing that. I always tell people, I was like, so you got Pepsi Cola and you got Coca-Cola. Do you think that one stopped because the other one came out? They just improved their product. So I would think that for a small business or whatever it is that you desire to do, I would say do it. Don't let money stop you because the money will come. Even with knowledge, you want to research as much as you can, but you're not going to know everything when you first start because right now, every day, I'm learning something new about this whole bartending business and just the things evolve. Cocktails are not the same. People are moving away from the coffee drinks, and I know at one point coffee drinks were so important, we know popular, but now people more so want the pretty drinks or the frozen drinks and stuff. So, like, just be prepared to evolve with whatever you're doing. When it grows, you have to grow with it. Keep an open mind and just do it. Don't talk yourself out of doing what you want to do.
That's great advice. That is absolutely great advice. And you know what? It was so funny when you were saying that. I started thinking about a conversation I had just this morning with a friend who was really discouraged. And, I mean, she was really upset that someone that she knew was doing the same exact business that she was trying to launch. And I said, why would that stop you? They're not going to do it the same way as you, you know. So I was giving her that advice, but you hit it on the head with the Coca-Cola and, you know, Pepsi. Hey, you know, they're doing the same thing, but, hey, keep it pushing, right? So I kind of gave her that advice this morning, and I think it made her feel better. She kind of cheered up, but she was really upset about that. And I was like, it should never stop you from doing what you want to do. So I appreciate that as well. So, Nadia, tell us about your success circle. Who are those people? Who are the people that are on the front row of your life that are helping you to make it happen?
Well, the first and foremost, who I talk to about everything is definitely God. I pray about everything that I do. And then my husband, he's definitely super, super supportive of me. And lastly, I would probably say just my customers, my clients who keep me going, even if they're not booking me, they are always talking about me. And sometimes just as any other business owner, you know, you do have doubts, or you kind of get like, okay, what can I do to do better, or I'm not doing a good enough job. And then you have those people who you've touched or who you've served, and here they are, like, you know, say something kind or share your name or your business with someone, and it just, like, it kind of pushes me to keep going. So I would say that those are the people who help me with everything that I do in my business.
Awesome. So what about your business model or business mantra? Do you have something, you know, a little slogan, a saying that kind of drives your passion for what you do in your business?
I just, I don't really have a slogan, I guess, but business is business, and, you know, we love to serve you in our business, and I think that's what it is. We, at the end, if you think about it, I just think that we love to serve, and by serve, not necessarily saying alcohol or drinks, but, like, I love to serve people, and the people who are a part of my team, they love to serve people. And so I think that that's what it is. We love the service business. We love serving people in our business.
Yeah. And you know what? I can agree to that. I know we've worked together on a couple of events, and I will tell you, your team is professional. You are very professional. I absolutely love the way you do business. And, you know, that speaks volumes, because nowadays, you know, people are so kind of, you know, lax with how they do things and not really caring about the customer experience. But I watched you all work, and I was really impressed with the professionalism, the engagement that you all had with the crowd. And, you know, people just absolutely loved you. So I commend you on that, and I commend you on the work that you're doing with your staff. I do. You do a great job. So I want to
talk about... Well, thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. You are welcome. We talked a little bit about the growth. You expanded into other areas, and you made a really valid point, you know, when you talked about not being licensed in other areas, but you took that challenge even and created an opportunity out of that. And I think for our CEOs, that's what we kind of have to think about. You know, it doesn't stop us. It's not a wall, but how can you flip that challenge and make it into an opportunity, a business opportunity, something that will grow your business? So do you have any other plans outside of just growing to those other states to expand to Chicks in a Bottle?
I don't know, really. I guess, and it still will be a state-to-state thing. We have an annual event that we host. It's called Taste the Teenies. We're basically Two Chicks in a Bottle partners with TaylorMade Sweets and Catering, and we kind of open up like a – we open – it's like a party almost, but it's an unlimited tasting where if you've been wondering, like, what we're about, what our business is about, if we even make good drinks or not, you know, how do we act behind the bar, then we have this event every year, and the public comes in, and they get to sample just a long list of martinis, and then also, you know, with the catering service that's there, they get to taste some of their sweets, some of their dishes, just to see, you know, maybe this could be, we could be someone who you use in the future. Or so I was thinking about actually, I didn't even come up with this. The guy Will, he owns Zone Vodka, and they're one of our sponsors for this event, and he was like, you know, we should take this thing on the road. You know, this the whole Taste the Teenies thing. We should do this from state to state, or to let other people know what's going on, and, you know, how they could possibly use all of our services in their state. And I think that that's a great idea. I've been thinking about it. We haven't actually put it into motion because of the different laws and regulations per state or per county. So that's something that we have to work on the back end. But I think that that's a great idea too. But my end goal is to be fully booked per state, whether, you know, it's a small event or a big event. That's my big goal. I want us to be booked in every state. So I want it to be an actual national household name. I want it to be across the board. So that's the big goal of it all.
That's a great big goal, and I think that's something that you can definitely work towards. And you know what I absolutely love, and I would challenge you to do a little research on this. There were two events, and I don't know if you can find the first one, but there was an event called Shecky's Girls Night Out, and I'll try to send you that link. But they actually used to do something very similar to what you were just sharing, and they would take it to different areas. I think they came, I know the one that I attended, I actually left Memphis and went to the one in Chicago because that's home, and I was like, well, I can go to that one. But they would do it at the Union Station, at the train station, and they kind of sectioned off this area, and it was like a mixology type of thing. It was really cool, but then there's Tales of the Cocktail. I'm pretty sure you've heard of that, and I think they've kind of moved theirs around a little bit. I think originally it started off in New Orleans, so really great concepts. I would look at that because I think you're on to something, and I'm just going to make that extra nudge and say, hey, go for it. Go for it. Why not? Why not? Because I think there are some people out there doing it, and maybe those two models might, you know, give you a little insight on how to get going. So I appreciate that. And I really appreciate you sharing with our listener all these great tips and things. If somebody is listening today and they wanted to reach out to you, can you share with them your social media handles, email, or whatever you want to give on how they can contact Nadia Perry and Two Chicks in a Bottle?
Absolutely. Well, if you want to join our team or if you would like to book us for any of your events or you just want to kind of check us out to see what we're about, you can go to our website, twochicksinabottle.com, and the spelling is the number 2, C-H-I-C-S. So chicks doesn't have a K in it, and I have to always tell people it's the number 2 and then chicks without a K. So twochicksinabottle.com, or we're on Facebook, same name, Two Chicks in a Bottle, or Instagram, Two Chicks in a Bottle.
Awesome. Do you think in the future you'll do some webinars and teach people how to make drinks, maybe if they're entertaining at home? I can totally see that.
And, like, are you in my notes? So I have a journal that I keep, and I just write, like, randomly write things down. I write everything down. Some things I get to, some things I don't, but I just write them down, and I kind of reflect over them. So maybe. Actually, in January, I had a whole meeting with somebody about this, about doing, like, webinars. So people, because if we're going to be, you know, around the world, maybe 4 o'clock a.m. somewhere else, and, you know, so it would be something that people can actually go into. And also on YouTube, I forgot, we do have a YouTube channel. We don't really have maybe one or two videos up right now, but it kind of gives you, like, different drinks that we make, and you can kind of go in and look at the drinks that we make there as well.
I love that. You know, Tasty, I'm pretty sure most people that are on Instagram or Facebook or whatever probably have seen the really cool videos that they do on Tasty, and they have an app. And so maybe that's something in the future for Two Chicks in a Bottle, is to have a really cool app, you know, for people that may be entertaining, and maybe that app is telling them, you know, hey, this is the ideal drink for this type of event or goes with this type of food, because that is a such thing. A lot of people don't know that you can actually pair your food to your cocktails. So I think that's really cool, too. That might be, I mean, just little nuggets, you know, just putting it out there. I'm hoping for something like that to come on. I think that would be awesome to see. I can't wait to see something like that happen. Do you have anything else that you would like to share with our CEOs about your business and how you keep going with Two Chicks in a Bottle?
I would say to keep me going is that I feel like that I've come too far, or we've come too far, because it's not just me anymore. It's a whole team of us. So, and I think that that's important with whatever type of business that you have. You have to have a team, because for one, you can't be everywhere at the same time. And for two, you know, we don't know everything. So you have to have the proper people in the proper place to help you in your business so that it can grow. So I'm so grateful for my team. But that kind of keeps me going, is that I feel like that we've come too far to not keep going. And then if I decide, well, I'm not going to do this anymore, like, how many people would I be affecting? I would be affecting way more than just me. So anytime that you think about giving up or that something isn't working, just think about why you started and where you are today compared to where you are where you were when you first started. So I think that that's something good to kind of keep in the back of your mind as well.
I love it. We salute your leadership, your model as a CEO, and we appreciate you, Nadia, for taking time out of your schedule today to be a part of the CEO Mindset, because I know our listeners heard something today that they learned from. They probably taken notes and will be able to refer back to. And I appreciate you. I salute you. For my listeners, I want to remind you to remember where you started, celebrate where you are, and gear up for where you're going. Have a great day.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Right there, right there. Come on. Yeah. Let's go. Hello, how there, everyone. My name is Sturman Tush, and I'm glad to be back with you on another episode of your show, Musicians War Room. Wow, I know it's been a while, and I'm sorry that I've not been able to speak with you for a while, but I'm back right now, back fully, back with grace, back with power. Thank you, Finding My Way Radio Network, for holding this down for me for a while that I've not been on the show, and I want to appreciate the producer, Kayla Paget, and every other person walking right there. Thank you so much. I love you all. I love you. I love you. I love you. Yeah, so it's been a while that we've been talking about so many things that concerns music, music industry, the church, and all of that. And I know you've been learning a lot of things. And I'm here today to take it a little bit deeper. And I'm going to step it down today. Today, I'm going to talk about something that is critical, something that people talk about, and something that people always want to shy away from, because it's a very sensitive topic. Very sensitive. And what is that? We're talking about the relationship between the music industry or the artist and the church. The relationship between the choir and the pastors. The relationship between the church, the clergy, and the Christian artist. Now, this has been a hot topic for a while right now. People have had so many things to say about it. When you talk to musicians and artists, you find them telling you that, oh, you know what, the church doesn't appreciate music ministry, the pastors don't appreciate us, we don't have platforms, the money and the rewards are not there. When you talk to the church and the leaders and the church, you hear them say stuff like, oh, you know what, Christian artists are not serious, choir members are not serious, and so many things, accusations flying back and forth. But I'm not here today to treat these accusations. I'm here to go back to the basics. What exactly is the relevance of the church to the Christian artist? What is the reciprocate gesture that the church, the artist should have? What is the posture that the artist is meant to have towards the church, towards the pastors, towards the church leadership? What exactly, how are things meant to be? Originally, we're going to go back to that basics. I'm going to share these things with you. We're going to have this conversation together, and I'm going to expect your questions. I'm going to wait to hear you ask me questions, and you can always send me your mail on hemedymusic@gmail.com, hemedymusic@gmail.com, and I'm going to answer those questions right on the show. All right, so we're going to look at these things on this show today. I'm going to start this with a piece of music. Let's get into some worship, and this is Nobody Like You by Afe Nathan. Enjoy this one.
I will lift up my hands to you. I will lift up my voice to you and sing a victory song to you, great and mighty is who you are. Nobody like you, nobody like you. Alpha, nobody like you. Omega, nobody like you. I will lift up my hands to you, Lord. I will lift up my voice to you and sing a victory, oh Lord, song to you, great and mighty. Is who you are. Nobody like you, nobody like you. Alpha, nobody like, nobody like you, Lord. Omega, nobody like you, nobody. Nobody like, nobody like you. Omega, nobody like you. Cause any vire, cause any vire. Oh, blue, cause any vire. Nobody like you, nobody like you. Alpha, nobody like, nobody like you. El Shaddai, Elohim, Elion, nobody like you, nobody like you.
I've just come to encourage someone out there today, and I say to you that whatever situation you find yourself, I need you to see God in that situation. No matter how low, I need you to see God in it. No matter how bad, no matter how terrible, I need you to see God in that situation. If only you can see God, if only you can find God, I need you to be focused. I need you to get your praise on. I need you to get your worship on and let it flow from the inside of you to the audience of one, to the King of Glory.
Yes, yes, let your worship flow. Let your praise rise to the audience of one. No matter what you're going through, no matter what circumstances are facing you right now, just know that God is right there. It's just a call away. Glory to Jesus. Yes, yeah, so we're talking about the church and the artists. Now, let me debunk a particular mindset or frame of thought that people have been sharing over the years. People say that, you know what, if the church doesn't give you a platform as an artist, you know, you can just give yourself your own platform. You don't really need a church. No, that is wrong. People who say such things You know, they talk out of heart. And I understand. I understand that you've been hurt by people. I understand that probably some leaders in the church as they've hurt you in times past. Now, I'm not going to go into whether you were was legit or not, but I really understand how you feel. But never let your emotions becloud your judgment. I understand that you've been hurt, but you see, it is wrong to say that the artist or the singers or the choir or, you know, Christian music industry doesn't need the church or doesn't need the pastors. I remember in the Bible, you know, when Nehemiah was building, rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, building the temple, one of the things that was striking in that story is that as the guys were building, the prophets were with them. The Bible says that the prophets were beside them. Now, the prophets were not there holding the brick and all of, the bricks and all of that. The prophets were there strengthening them by speaking words. By speaking words. So I'm going to say that, first of all, like I said, you know, in quite some episodes back, you are first of all a Christian before being an artist, before being a musician. So what that means essentially is that you are subject to the ministry of the pastors, the prophets, the evangelists, the teachers, okay? The fivefold ministry. It is important. The apostles, it is important. You have them. They are meant to feed you. They are meant to empower you. They are meant to energize you. They can give you platforms, but that is not the primary role of the church. And I need us to get that straight. Now, many of us, we expect too much. In fact, we expect things that we, you know, you find out that an artist will release a song and then the artist will just sit down and fold his or arms and expect that, well, you know what, my church should help me promote my song. Now, I know that's far, but I've met artists like that who do nothing. They don't brand themselves well. They don't go on social media. They don't talk to music PR folks. They don't do anything to promote their music. They just go to the studio, release a song. Even the money that they used to go to the studio, they had to beg around for it. Now they got the money, get to the studio, release the song. And they just feel that, well, because I'm anointed, the song will fly. Or because my church is great and they're going to help me promote my song. Now that is an extreme. That is totally wrong. That is wrong. That is not the job of the church. You are the artist. You are the one who has been called into music ministry. And like Paul said to Timothy, I'm going to say to you, take heed, give attention to the ministry that you have been given. Now, Paul was telling Timothy to tell a man, okay, called Archippus, that he should give heed and give attention to the ministry he has been given. So it is your ministry. It is your assignment. What impute, what are you putting into it? You're not putting anything into it. So that is not the job of the church. But the job of the church and the pastors and the leaders, they are meant to, is to empower you, is to feed you, is to pray for you, is to be a prophetic voice over your life, over your ministry. So once that is settled, then you are in good shape. You are in good stand. And I want to encourage and I want to also counsel our church leaders that, you see, for us to move forward in the music industry, we need to take this mindset away that, oh, artists are not serious. They don't want to really go deep. I understand that there are a few bad eggs everywhere. But you see, you have to understand that there are some people who are passionate about music ministry and they really want to do well at it. So the job of our church and our leaders is to help the artist to grow. That is on the spiritual side. Now, there's also something else on the technical side. One of the things that pastors should understand is that music is global. Music is expanding every day. And so the church choir is essentially the kitchen or the manufacturing spot where artists are created. So if a singer comes from your church and goes out to release songs and becomes a recording artist, the quality of that artist in terms of the conviction, the message, the songs, the musicality, everything there reflects your investment in the church. So if a singer comes out of your church that and starts doing anyhow and releases wishy-washy songs, it shows that you had wishy-washy investment. It shows that your investment in that artist wasn't sound. So the church, you need to understand that you have a direct personal take over every artist. Don't just say that, well, the artist just did what he or she wants to do because he's not serious. No. God is going to ask you. Because God entrusted you with that singer. God entrusted you with that instrumentalist. And see how he or she has turned out. So we need to ensure that our building of our singers and our choir is well-rounded. As much as you are praying for them and encouraging them and you're building them up and speaking words over them, you also need to make investments into them technically, musically. There are many churches today that they have not invested anything in their music team, no equipments to work with, no training. I mean, you have a choir and they have not gone for any formal training in the past 2 years. You just keep on telling them, work, watch videos, listen to music. Yes, but many of them did not go to music school. They just love God and they have a natural voice to sing and they have a passion to serve. So you need to supply that extra knowledge, extra motivation for them to learn. So many of us in the church, many pastors are not even doing enough to be able to build these people. Many of us, many pastors say, you know what, I can't rent, I can't pay instrumentalists, I can't pay anybody to come and do anything in my church for music. I believe that is not right. Because there are times where you will need to seek professional advice and you will have to pay for it. There are times you will need to seek professional church on your music and you will need to pay for it. So if there's a music director or there's a singer out there who you know that is good and has what your choir needs to be supplied to it, you should be able to pay for it. Don't see that you are paying them for what they are doing. See it as your financial investment. See it like you are sending your choir members to school and what you are paying is the tuition fee. It's that simple. It's that simple. You see, if we don't make this investment, you find out that you release singers and instrumentalists in your church that know nothing about music, and that is really affecting us. Let me tell you something. When you see what is happening in the Christian music industry, it's a reflection of what is happening in our churches. And so it's like the adults saying that, well, the children of nowadays, the millennials, have turned out the way they want to turn out because they just have a mind of their own. I beg to disagree. Because the adults raised these millennials. So whatever the millennials have become is a direct representation of the investment of the older generation in them. So I want to encourage pastors. This is a time to take your church music serious. Get them gadgets. Get them the right equipment. Provide the atmosphere for them to learn. Bring people to train them. Employ reliable hands. This is one of the things that is expected of you to do. Now I'm talking about what are the expectations? What do we expect the church to do for artists? What does the artist want and need? And then on a part of the singers, what is your role and your responsibility to the church? Now, before I go for my next break, let me share it with you. I believe that it's important that every Christian artist finds a church, all right? Find a church that you can serve. So the problem many times is that some pastors have been hurt as well. And I'm going to say this. They've poured a lot and invested so much in some people. And after a while, they go to the biggest dealer. They go to the person who is paying the biggest. And that is wrong. You need to be loyal. Like I said, you're not in your church. You're not in your church because you are trying to look for platforms. Yes, they can give you platform. But essentially, as a Christian, you need a church. So if you're not a musician, won't you have a church? Be committed somewhere. So if you want someone to invest in you, then you have to be loyal to them. If I'm a pastor and I feel that, oh, if I pour so much in you and you become good, the moment someone else sees something good in you and is offering you something bigger, you're going to go. And naturally, I'm going to feel like, oh, that would make me feel hurt. Now, I understand that you don't reap where you sow, but you reap what you sow. But you also have to understand that pastors are human beings. Yes, there are times where you invest in someone and that person is meant to actually be a benefit to someone else and you have to just let them go. I understand that. I understand that it's not everywhere you invest in or everyone you invest in that will end up returning back to you or staying around you for a while. I understand that. But you see, as artists, we need to be loyal to our leaders and loyal to our church, loyal to our pastors. Give your all. Stay in a place. I know many music directors and many artists who don't have a church. You can't place them somewhere. They're always moving around from one place to another. I don't think that is right. You should be in a place. You should be planted. You should be planted, be loyal to a place, all right? So that is your responsibility as a Christian artist, that you are submitting to a leadership. You're submitting to a pastor, you're submitting to a church, and you are adding value to that space, to that choir. Let people around you be feel your impact. Let them feel your knowledge, all right? So as the church is investing in you, you are putting back as well, all right? Okay, so I'm going to wrap this up after this music break, and we're going to, you know, continue for the episode. So this is Sinach. You know her. Waymaker, Sinach, great worship leader, singing this one, "Great Are You, Lord." Enjoy this worship piece.
God is great and greatly to be praised. So every morning when I wake up, I always remind myself that God is bigger than any situation. God is bigger than any economy. God is bigger than any currency. And that God is bigger than my dreams. And that before you ever dream that, He knows. And He cares so much. And if you're feeling that nobody cares for you right now, God is bigger. And He says, "I am the great one." Just see how big that I am in your life, and I'll do the rest. Just lift up your hands and just worship Him and tell Him how great He is. Greatly to be praised.
It's a privilege to worship You, Maker of all universe. It's an honor just to stand.
Lift up your hands and holy, holy,
holy, holy God Almighty. It's a privilege to worship. Stand before You. Ha. With a grateful heart I lift my hands to You. Proclaim the Lord You reign. With a grateful heart, with a grateful heart I lift my hands to You. Proclaim the Lord You reign. Our hands, You reign. We worship You, You reign. Yeah.
Holy, holy, come on.
Holy, holy God Almighty.
It's a privilege.
It's a privilege to worship.
Maker of all.
Maker of all. It is an honor. It's an honor just to stand.
Lift up your hands, say, "Holy, holy,
holy, holy God Almighty."
Oh Lord,
it's a privilege to worship.
You're the Maker
of all
universe.
It is an honor.
An honor
just to stand before
you. Come on.
With a grateful heart, I lift my hands to you. Proclaim the Lord, you. Proclaim the Lord, you reign. Lord, you reign. Reign are you, Lord.
Reign are you, Lord. Reign to be praised. Reign to be praised. Father, you reign. Reign are you, Lord.
Great are you, Lord. I just couldn't stop that. That was a powerful song. Great are you, Lord. I'm sure you were lost in worship right there. All right, so I'm about to wrap up the show for the day. We're going to continue this conversation, you know, subsequently. So like I said, the church has its roles. The artist, you have your role. And this is what I'm going to end with. This is going to be my ending thought to us today on this episode. You see, we need to get to a point where we realize that we need one another. We need one another. I sincerely believe that the Christian music industry, and essentially gospel music, needs to take over. Because we have the message, we have the power, we have the grace, we have what it takes to turn our world around. The world out there, what you find people doing is they're singing all sorts of songs, and you find our young people turning into so many things, and they are being negatively influenced by the music, and we have what it takes. But you see, we cannot do this by ourselves. We cannot do this on our own. We need that prophetic backing. We need that synergy. We're never meant to do this by ourselves. Taking over is not a single man's job. I want you to understand that. It's not something that I'm going to do. You know, when you find new artists come out and say, you know what, I'm coming out with my first single, it's going to be the banger, I'm taking over the music industry, I'm going to turn this around, it's all a lie. Only you alone can do it. We need one another. And I want you to just take this mindset with you and just know that, you know what, I need my brother, I need my fellow artists. Thank God for my number one hit single nationwide, but I cannot do it by myself. If I'm the only one having hit singles, then nothing's going to happen. I need other people to rise up. And as artists, we also need the church. Let us go into the weekend, into our week, into our month, into the rest of the days of the year with that mindset that we need one another. I need you, you need me. Thank you so much. I'm going to continue on the next episode talking about the relationship between the church and the artist, between the singers, between the ministry, the music ministry, and the church leadership. Thank you so much for listening to me today. I'm Tommy Tish, and I'm signing out today. Thank you, everyone. God bless you.
Right there. Come on. Let's go! Yes, sir! When this world outside, higher peace inside, favor covers me. When it's casting down, I keep rising and higher, favor covers me.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel.
Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Hello, good morning, everybody. Good afternoon, good evening, depending on where you're listening to me from. This is 25 Minutes with Bookie on Finding My Way Radio Network, and I'd like to welcome you to another wonderful time in the presence of God. And I pray that this is going to bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we'll be going straight into the Word of God. The text is taken from the book of Genesis 39, verse number 2. And it says that the Lord was with Joseph, and he was successful. My Bible says he was a successful man, even in the house of his master, Potiphar, the Egyptian. Hallelujah, glory be to the name of the Lord. And we are going to be looking at the life of Joseph. And I'd like to tell you this, I'd like to encourage you, that no matter how bad the situation around you is, no matter how terrible it is, no matter how bad the hate is, it can never override the decision of God for your life. No, it can change the position of God for your life. It cannot distort it. It cannot pull it down. God's words are law. His decisions concerning you are final. Hallelujah. So whatever it is you are going through, you have got to learn, you know, to be patient. You have got to develop tenacity, persistence, perseverance. Hallelujah. Glory be to the name of the Lord. You have got to be constant with God. And you have got to be determined to be what the Lord has called you to be. Hallelujah. Like you are saying right now, that the Bible says, like you're hearing right now, the Bible says that Joseph was a successful man. He was a success because God was with him. If God be for you, who can be against you? Nobody. Nobody can stand against God's decision for your life. So you have got to be serious yourself with your vision and with your purpose. And you have got to ensure that you dwell in the Lord, that you abide in the Lord. Hallelujah. Because when the Lord is present with you, you can never, ever fail. God has never failed, and he will not start failing with you. So you have got to learn to stay in the Lord, abide in the Lord. Hallelujah. The Bible says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, the secret place of the Most High, will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That is under the protection of the Almighty. So whatever it is you are going through cannot pull you down, because you are under the shadow of the Almighty. Because you're under the protection. You're under the watch of the Almighty. And my Bible says, he who watches over us, he neither sleeps nor slumber. Hallelujah. Glory be to the name of the Lord. So you have got to abide in the Lord. Amen. Then you will be successful with your purpose, with your dreams, with your vision, with everything you do. You will not be a failure in life. Now, let us look at the life of Joseph. His brothers could not contain him. They were so envious and jealous of him. So they hated him. And they decided to sell him out. But I tell you that when the grace of God is over your life, the grace of God is unlimited. Hallelujah. Nothing can limit the grace of God over your life. Situations, circumstances cannot limit God's grace over your life. Hallelujah. No matter how bad the situation is, no, it cannot limit the grace of God, because it is there. It will grant you favor wherever it is you go. Even in the desert, you will be watered. Hallelujah. Glory be to the name of the Lord. He will send someone to help you out of the blues. You do not have to know how it's going to happen. Because God works in mysterious ways. Hallelujah. You don't have to understand the process. You just have to trust and obey and go with the Lord. Walk with the Lord. Hallelujah. That is all that you need. And as we continue to look at the life of Joseph, he was sold. And he became a servant in Potiphar's house. And when he got there, the grace of God over his life still continued with him. And he became, you know, the chief servant. Hallelujah. Because there was something about him. There was something about him, you know, that singled him out everywhere he went. And that is the Spirit of God. That is the grace of God. That is the hand of God that was upon the life of Joseph. And he became the chief servant. From there, of course, the devil came again, wanted to use his master's wife, you know, to pull him down. And that's another thing. The higher we go, you know, the worse, you know, the greater the problems. Yes. Hallelujah. There is no life without problems, without challenges. The only one that is without problem right now is the one that is buried deep in the ground, 7 feet below. So you have got to understand the fact that life is full of challenges. And as you go higher, higher in the Lord, the problem also gets bigger. But we have a Father who empathizes with us. We have a Father who understands our pain. We have a Father who sees our struggles. And the Bible says that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He is always there for us. Amen. Glory be to the name of the Lord. So Potiphar's wife wanted to pull him down. But Joseph said, how can I do this and sin against my God? Not even against his master. That's a message for another day. And sin against my God. And he fled. And because of that, he was imprisoned. He was sent to the prison. But guess what again? When he got to the prison, he was also put in charge of other prisoners. Hallelujah. To lead them, to oversee them. You see the grace of God speaking for Joseph wherever he went. Wherever he went, the favor of God was with him. The hand of God was with him. The Spirit of the Lord was with him. The grace of God stood him out everywhere. And even in the prison, he became a leader. He was a leader in his family. He was a leader in Potiphar's house. And even in the prison yard, he was a leader. Because there was something about him that singled him out everywhere. And whatever it is that singles you out everywhere, definitely forces of darkness will rise against you and want to pull you down because you're a child of light. But you have got to be firm. Hallelujah. And again, in the prison, he was able to interpret the dreams for those two guys from Pharaoh's house, from Pharaoh's palace. And of course, he later landed in Pharaoh's house. He interpreted dreams for Pharaoh. And you know, because of that, he was promoted. Remember the Bible says he was successful. He was promoted because that thing in him kept pushing him beyond his limitations, beyond his trials, beyond his problems, kept speaking for him everywhere. So he led in his father's house. He led as a servant in Potiphar's house. He led as a prisoner. Hey, Lady Bull Satire. He led as a prisoner and ultimately he led in the land. Aside from Pharaoh, he became the number one person. And at the end of the day, what his brothers, you know, were avoiding, what they didn't want to do, they eventually did it. Even before they knew that it was their brother that he sold out to slavery, they had bowed to. So I want to encourage you with this story of Joseph. You can go back and read, you know, Genesis 39. Just read about Joseph. Read about his challenges, how he was sold, how he was hated. Some of us are hated and then we don't know how to go about it. We go around crying, you know, brooding. Why? Why? God's love is enough for you. He loves you. That's enough. That's just enough for you. You just accept the love of God. Oh my God. You know, the scripture that came to my mind right now. It says, when the ways of a man pleases God, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. So do not focus haters. Do not focus on the problems. Put your focus on God. Draw your strength from God. That is your powerhouse. Right now, I don't know who you are I am talking to. There is so much hate around you. The light in you is exposing the dark around you. The darkness around you. Hallelujah. Glory be to the name of the Lord. And those who are in the darkness, those who dwell in it, they love it because in it, their evil works are concealed. But light exposes. And that is the single reason why you are hated. Because they're not comfortable with you around. But that is not your problem. So you have got to understand that there is nothing you can do to help them. You can only pray for them. Like the Bible says, encourages us, Jesus says, pray for your enemies. You can only pray for them that God should help them. Don't ever pray that God should kill your enemies, because your enemies, God loves them and he wants them to change so that they can reign with him. Hallelujah. That is God's love. He loves us so beautifully. He loves us so wonderfully, so powerfully. We cannot even, you know, comprehend his love for us. So you don't focus on the hate. You don't focus on the problems. Put your trust in God. Obey the Lord beyond your problems. Then the Lord is with you. Then how can you fail? You can never fail with God on your side, with you on the side of God. Pitch your tent with the Lord. You can never ever be a failure in life. Like the Bible says that Joseph was a successful man. And everything he did, even in the prison, he was successful. As a servant, he was successful. In his father's house, he was successful. In the land, as the governor, he was a successful person. Because God was with him. Where are you today? Can you boast of the praises of God? Can you say that, oh, the Lord is with me? Can you say that? Have you left? The Bible says, he who breaks the edge, the serpent will bite. There is a territory for you as a child of God. As a child of God, there is a place where the Lord wants you to stay. There is a place where he wants you to be. And when you get into his will for your life, he is with you. Hallelujah. But when you stray, you have left that fold. And you're open to attacks from the enemies. May we not be attacked in Jesus' name. So like I'm saying this morning, all you need in life, or afternoon, or even in your time, all you need to be a successful human being, real success is in God, is to be with God, is for God to be with you, because he reigns and he rules over the affairs of human beings. He controls the traffic of the world daily. He is in charge. He is in charge of our lives. He is in charge of everything. Hallelujah. He causes the sun to rise and to set. Hallelujah. Glory be to the name of the Lord. He lets us have rain. You know, he's such a wonderful father. And he will care for you. The Bible says we don't have a father who does not empathize with us. He knows your pains. He knows your struggles. He knows what you're going through right now. And he wants you to learn patience with all those things. So that you become the strong, you know, person in the Lord. Bible says they that know their God, they will be strong. If you know your God, you will be strong in that situation. You will be strong in the circumstance. You will be strong and you will do what? You will do exploits. You will do exploits. The grace of God over your life is not limited by those things you are going through. No, they cannot limit you. Those things cannot limit you. And you should not limit yourself by giving in. Don't back down. Don't throw in the towel. It's not over. No, it is not over. No, it is not over. You have got to be strong. You have got to be strong. You have got to be determined. You have got to be very firm. Firmness of purpose. Hallelujah. Develop tenacity. Amen. The ability to go through things. Hallelujah. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And the Lord is going to see you through whatever it is. And I pray for you right now. I don't know what you're going through in your family. Is it in your place of work? Is it in your local assembly? Wherever it is, I pray for the grace for you to stand firm, to be strong, to recognize the fact that God's words are final and He has the final say over your life. And whatever it is He has commanded in your life is done. It's only waiting for a perfect time for Him to blossom. Hallelujah. I pray for the grace for you to go through these trying times in the name of Jesus Christ. And to be strong and to fulfill your purpose in the Lord in Jesus' name. And that's just the message for today. Look at the life of Joseph. Just a message for today. He was successful because God was with him. I want, you know, to be with the Lord every time. The hand of the Lord is upon me. Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Hallelujah. The presence of the Lord is with me. You should be able to say that about yourself. You should be able to say that to yourself, that God, I thank you for your presence over my life. I will not go if your presence will not go with me. You've got to allow God to be in charge, to take the wheel, to stir you up, to drive you through life, to help you pull through in the name of Jesus. So don't back down. Do not back down. Don't get discouraged. Be strong and do exploits for the Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for listening. It's been a wonderful time on the show today. And the story of Joseph, you know, really ministered to me, really blessed me as a person. And I pray that the same way it blessed me, it will bless you. In the name of Jesus, you'll be blessed by it. In the name of Jesus, and you'll be able to get up and run with your vision. In the name of Jesus. Before I go, we are going to be playing a song, and that song was done by me. Lord, you reign. He reigns and rules over the affairs of men. I want you to enjoy the song from Wuki Adediro and be blessed by it. Before I finally sign out today, I'd like to give you a golden nugget, an advice, an information. Hallelujah. And I want you to keep this with you and run with it every time. Do you know that the devil actually does not like anybody? So my simple advice for you today is never allow the devil or his agents to use you to spite another person. Because he is simply using you. And the moment that person is out of the picture, he will find someone else to use to spite you yourself. So that tells you that, you know, it's something that goes on and on and on. So it's not like the devil loves you and is using you to frustrate somebody. Is using you to frustrate the efforts of people, to pull them down, to discourage them. No, no, no. Say no to the devil. That you wouldn't be a tool in the hands of the enemy against the saints of God, against the children of God. Because the moment they are out of the picture, you become the next victim. And yours may be worse because nemesis will be added to it. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Never allow anyone use you to spite another person. Always stay away from disagreements. Always stay away from issues that, you know, issues that have to do with other people. If you don't have the full information, don't judge people based on what others tell you. Try and encounter people yourself and draw your conclusions and talk to God about people. The devil does not like you. And if he is using you to spite somebody, he's going to use someone else to spite you. And that is how it works with him. May the Lord help you. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. And till I come your way again, this has been 25 Minutes with Buki on Finding My Way Radio Network. Do have a wonderful day. You have a wonderful morning, afternoon, evening, depending on where you're listening to me from. God bless you and enjoy this music, Lord You Reign by Buki Adediro. Bye for now.
produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Hello, children around the world. It's Princess Leah Camille, your favorite. And hello, Caleb Padgett, founder of Finding My Way Network. You're my twin, and you're awesome. Yeah, I'm awesome, too. That's why I'm awesome, because you're my twin. Duh. And hello, parents. It's the Saturday. And today, we are going to be talking about the woman at the well and the nobleman's son, because guess what? It's all in John 4. Yeah. So, we're first going to talk about the woman at the well. This is a very familiar story, like all of it. So, we know that Yeshua went to Samaria, and that's where he met her. Yeshua was doing a lot of baptizing lately, and so he was passing through Samaria, which is something that most Jews wouldn't do because Samaritans are a mix of Jews and Gentiles, you know. And if you guys are just like putting it in right in your new, Yeshua means Jesus. So we commonly call him Jesus, and Yahuwah means God. If I bring up God and I call him Yahuwah, that's who I'm talking about, God. Yeshua is our Savior, and Yahuwah is the God, our Father. So, Samaritans are a mix of Jews and Gentiles. We know that Jews are the people that thought they were righteous, you know, holy God. And Gentiles were the unclean. They didn't really enjoy talking about Yahuwah and Yeshua. They just kind of did what they wanted. And so the Jews despised the Samaritans. They're all like, ew, look at the Samaritan. Let's go over here. Ew, ew. That's not nice. You have to love everybody, right? I don't think I'm making much of a difference here. So Yeshua sat at Jacob's well. Just in there, Samaria. Kind of just, you know, looking around, drinking some water. Excuse me. Then a woman came and filled her pot with water. And Yeshua asked her for water because the disciples went to get food somewhere out there in the distance. And she said, why are you talking to me? I'm a Samaritan. And then he offered her living water. So he's just like, miss, could you give me some water? I'm kind of thirsty. I've been traveling and baptizing people. And that water, looking at the water, made me thirsty. I am parched. A few little kids parched me thirsty, basically. And then she's like, I would, but I'm a Samaritan. And people don't like Samaritans doing things for them because, like, people are just so mean. And then he's like, well, I can always give you some living water. How about that? And she's like, I don't understand what living water is. She thought it was water that she could physically drink, like get out of well. Of course, we wouldn't get water out of the well today. We have faucets and pitchers and purifiers and stuff like that. Tap water. So she thought you can actually drink it. But this was living water. He was going to give her the word, and she would be quenched spiritually. Quenched meaning she wouldn't be thirsty anymore, basically. So Yeshua meant that he would give her everlasting life. Thoughtful look. Yeshua asked her to come back with her husband. Yay! Let's have everlasting life as a family! But alas, she didn't have one. And he said he knew she, in fact, had five husbands. Wow. How many times can you get married? And then the one that she's with right now wasn't even her husband. This is weird. You're creeping me out. Oh my gosh, that reminds me of a TV show. You're creeping me out. Creeping me out. Creeping me out. So she's just like, I don't have a husband right now, and I've had five husbands. Yes, yes, you have, lady. Yes, you have. And then she, I'm going to read out of the scripture right now. So the woman at the well in John chapter 4. And I am at 25. The woman saith unto him, I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. So she's like, well, I'm just going to wait for the Messiah, because once he comes, we'll know everything we're supposed to know. I'm just going to wait patiently for him. Then Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. He said, well, I am the Messiah. And she's like, what? You're the Messiah? I didn't know that. No, you didn't. You were absolutely clueless right then. She's like, yeah, I'm the Messiah. And then came his disciples and marveled that he talked with this woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou? Why thou talkest to her? I'm pretty sure Yeshua knew that they were thinking that because he knows everything. But, like, they were just like, why is he hanging out with Samaritan? Why is he talking to a Samaritan woman? I don't know, dude, but it's kind of creeping me out. So she went to the city and said to the men, come see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is this not the Christ? And they went out of the city and came with him. She was going out and telling people. I mean, the Samaritan woman is like believing in Yeshua. That means anybody can accept Christ. That's what I get out of this. Like today, I mean, it's not such big of a deal because like almost everybody we talk to, we think they're going to be a Christian, but they're not. Like what I said, I mentioned how I went out to talk to this person. They were like, I don't believe in Yeshua. I am a scientist. Anybody can believe in Yeshua if they, well, if they know better, they would. But anybody can do that. There's not like a certain person that can accept Yeshua and there's another person that can't. Yeshua loves everybody. He's given them the opportunity to accept him so they can go to heaven with him and see the angels. By the way, angels aren't women. So, we're going to go over this again before I get into the nobleman's son. Yeshua was doing a lot of baptizing. Oh, and I forgot to mention, if you don't know what baptizing is, if you go to a church, they'll have a certain place in the back where they baptize people. There's water and they just like dip them in there, and it's like they're giving them to Yahuwah. They're like saying, oh, they're showing people that they believe in Yahuwah outwardly, like they can actually see them. You can get baptized spiritually too by the Holy Spirit. That is the best way to get baptized. I mean, if you get baptized with water, then that's just showing people that you believe. You don't really need to do that. And he was passing through Samaria. Who knows why he was passing through Samaria? I mean, just wandering, I guess. Which is something most Jews wouldn't do because they're very, very mean and selfish and don't like Samaritans. I mean, I could see why, because, like, Jews would never marry a Gentile and it has some kind of, like, thing against them. Like, they just don't understand why anybody would do it. And then their children come out as Samaritans and they're just like, ew, that is so not cool. I mean, why would a Jew marry a Gentile? And that's their kid? Ew, let's go. It's not good to be mean to other people that aren't like you. And so the Jews despised them, and Yeshua just sat at Jacob's well, doing absolutely, who knows, nothing. So the woman came and filled her pot with water. A fun fact, women, they used to carry pots over their heads, like literally on top of their heads. They just carried them. Ooh, balancing a pot on top of my head. I heard it's easier that way, though. And Yeshua asked her for water because the disciples went to get food. I mean, who wouldn't want to drink water with food or any other beverage? And she said, why are you talking to me? I'm a Samaritan. I mean, you shouldn't have the mindset that every single Jew is going to be mean to you. Need I remind you of the Good Samaritan? He offered her living water, which is everlasting life. Just like you have to eat physically, like you have to get your meat and your drinks, whatever you eat, you have to eat spiritually and drink spiritually as well. You can get everlasting life, and the word is food. You read your Bible, and that's getting your food. You have to feed your spirit. I know that sounds kind of weird, but you do. Feeding your spirit is important, just like you having to eat your food to keep your body in shape. Oh my God. And she didn't know what living water was, though. She thought it was like water you can get from a well. No, lady, this is actually living water, everlasting life. Don't you know what it means? But he meant everlasting life. Yeshua asked her to come back with her husband. This shows that Yahuwah knows everything. And that even us sometimes have things that go on in our lives, and Yeshua knows, even when nobody else does. Like, your parents may go somewhere, and you're like, Mom told me not to in the living room, but I'm going to do it anyway because I want to. And so you go and get candy, chocolate bars. And for whatever reason, this giant liter of soda, I don't know why you want to do the con candy. You go in the living room and eat and drink in there anyway, even though your parents told you not to. And so you just eat in there, and we're like, this is so good. And lo and behold, you waste the juice or drink or whatever in there. And you're like, Mom, what are you going to give me? I don't know about your dad, what your dad does, but my mom would get on to me if I did something like that. So you're just like, I got to do something. Put a pouch over the spill. Put a pitting over the spill. Put a boat over the spill. I don't know why you would do that, but you did. And so your mama comes home and like, why is there a boat in the living room? Because I didn't know what else to do. And I was playing with it in the tub. Yeah. Who plays with the boat in the tub? That's weird. You're creeping me out. You're creeping me out. No. So your mama's like, did you eat it now? I don't think she would say that. I'm just trying to be funny. Okay. But that shows, like, Yeshua knew that you ate and drank in there, so you're not really hiding anything. And she was supposed to come back with her husband. Yay! Happy everlasting life. I got family. But, alas, she didn't have a husband. And he said he already knew because she, in fact, had 5 husbands. And that's a lot of husbands to be married to, and you got divorced. But anyway, she knew it was the Messiah, the Yeshua, and told everyone in Samaria. I mean, she was once like this lady who was just like, oh, I'm going to have 5 husbands, and then you just not really working out. And then, oh, look, I did this, and I did that wrong. But then she got it right with Yeshua and wanted that living water, that everlasting life. And she went and told everyone in Samaria. And come see a man which told me all things that I did. Is this not the Christ? And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, and he told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. He abode there for 2 days. I mean, like, Yeah, she was so excited. I mean, she just left everything there. She's like, you're the Messiah! Everybody come see this man! He told me everything about myself, what I did with my husband, my heart, everything. Haven't you met the Messiah? Come see him. He's a great man. And then he went and tarried with them for 2 days. Have you met the Messiah? Do you know who he is? I bet you do. I know you do because you're like my fans and you're like, Princess Leah does Messiah. Ooh, she is such a good role model. Oh my gosh. Let us go and find out who the Messiah is too. That's going to be cool. I'm so proud of y'all, my little fans. Pat, pat, pat. So proud of you. So everyone came to him and he stayed with them for 2 days. Wow. These people were so excited. They're like, dude, you have to stay with us. Yeah, man, come on. We'll take you back to the village or town. He's like, whoa. All right, I guess I could stay for a few days. Like, yeah, yay. Is there a kid in the crowd or something? And so, more believed because of his own words. And said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. I just read verse 42 of John 4. And now 2 days he departed thence and went into Galilee. Is there anybody you would like to meet, like, who think it's so cool, like, you just so excited, you're like, OMG, I love her. I want to be just like her. Are they a good role model for Yeshua? Are they? I mean, of course I am, because, like, you already know me. I'm so cool. So, you already know me. That's cool. But is there anybody else? Like, maybe your parents. Maybe your parents are just like, oh, my gosh, we're going to pray. We're going to do this. Your parents are good role models. Well, I trust that they are. Or maybe it's a teacher or a pastor, somebody in your life that you just think is so tall, and they're just like, my gosh. Even in the documentary, so I did I'm cool and I sing and stuff, but they're starting to believe in Yahuwah too. I mean, like, you teenagers know what I'm talking about, like, all these other people that you know for this so long. I'm not going to get specific, but there are people out there who go to church now. They sing and they're just like, I think I need something more to my life. I'm going to go to church and I'm going to believe on Yahuwah. That's good. I mean, now that they're starting to get the idea, I don't mind you just being like, oh, Moonji, they're cool, so I'm going to be like that. I don't care anymore. But that's good. I'm glad that they want to be more like Yahuwah, and that's a good example for you guys. I mean, even though they have all this stuff, they still believe that there's more to life than just singing and making money. So now we're going to talk about the nobleman's son. Since it's in John 4, I thought I'd just go ahead and talk about it. We're going to be in John 4, 46 through 54. The nobleman's grief. A certain nobleman was in Galilee. This man was probably very rich and had a great position in life, but he was upset because his son was ill. Your parents will be like, oh my gosh. I mean, your mom is probably so paranoid when you get there. She's like, oh, honey, we have to take this to the hospital. He's like, probably just has a fever or something. We're at home getting some Tylenol. No, we're taking the hospital before he dies. Moms are so caring. But yeah, his son was ill, but this is actually ill. The nobleman hurt. Yeshua had come to Galilee, so he came unto him and begged him to heal his son, for he was dying. I know he was dying. No. And when he heard that Jesus came out of Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. That's at 47 of John 4, 48. Then Jesus said unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. So Yeshua was kind of disappointed. He wanted people to believe without signs. I mean, back then, signs were kind of the whole, you know, oh my gosh, you're going to believe in Jesus if I see this. was kind of a thing back then. They wouldn't just believe Yeshua without something actually happening in their lives. That's kind of sad and disappointing, and it makes me feel. But that's what happened back then. Right now, most people don't believe there are actually miracles. Like, mostly it's the little kids, because I think the teens understand a bit better what miracles are. But, like, you little kids out there, you think, like, why don't miracles actually happen today? Yeah, why don't miracles happen? Well, funny you should say that, because miracles do still happen. I mean, like, I'm saved, you're saved, we all believe in Yahuwah. That's actually a miracle. You might not believe in me. Maybe those are actually just more of the subtle miracles that we might not actually think about. We might, when we think of a miracle, we think more of like back in Bible times, like turning water into wine, healing people. Those are more of the, like, not actual, but more of the, you know, just kind of, I can't even think of a word, just kind of, you know, people think it's just huge thing that happened. It's a miracle, but all miracles are the same. I mean, you getting saved is a miracle. You having a house is a miracle. You having food on the table is a miracle. Miracles do happen today. You getting out of a financial situation you're in, that's a miracle too. Miracles do still happen. Just may not think of it as a miracle, but they are. Yeshua told him that his son would live. And then the nobleman's like, but why won't you come with me? I need you there to heal my son. He's like, don't you believe I can heal him from over here? Because, you know what, I honestly don't feel like walking all that way, but you have to heal him. Look, your son is healed. You can go home now. I don't think he was like that, because that'd be kind of rude, but that's basically what he said. Your son will live. And then the man is just like, whatever you say. That small, teeny, tiny, little, fancy house. So he's just walking home, thinking about everything that happened. And then he's like, Master, Master. His servants come up to him, and they're like, your son? You tell him. No, you tell him, dude. I don't want to tell him, man. Just tell me what happened. Your son, he's alive. They both say it at the same time. He's like, what? He's alive. He's healed at, like, what time did he heal? Actually, the same hour when he began to amend, they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. That was the same time Yeshua said he'd be alive. He's just thinking about it, all these thoughts racing in his head. He's like, that's when he said he'd be healed. I can't believe it. He healed my son. So that was the nobleman's son. It's actually a really funny story when I tell it. So I want to mention the pro-literacy campaign. Yes, it's coming soon because I'm going to be reading. We're going to have all these books. We're going to be like, oh my gosh, it's okay to read. Yeah, I know, right? Princess Leia's Daily Devotion! Look at the fashion for Jesus! Oh, I can't wait for you to read it! And I know it seems kind of, you know, childish, but it's a picture book. Well, not literally, but there has some pictures in there, and it has my favorite character of all time, Nico! I know that's a pretty weird name, it means cat, but anyway. Yeah, Princess Leia's Daily Devotion is coming out soon. It's a super duper surprise, and I want to tell you guys anyway, because, like, I'm awesome, and I'm so caring, you know me. I'm like Kayla, she's so kind. And I want to say hello to Kayla Patton of Finding My Way Network again. Thank you for letting me play my show on here. This is so fun, and I just have a blast talking to you guys, like, my time is always to you guys, because I'm nice, and Yahoo is nice, and he works through me, so a good one of you guys, I love you guys. So thank you, Kayla, for being my twin and being there for me. Thank you so, so much. So now I'm going to wrap up by praying. It's always important to pray before you leave somewhere. Bless. everything. So, Yahuwah, I thank you for today. Thank you for the Sabbath and all the kids out there around the world and their parents, too, for letting them listen to me and being able to worship you in a place like this in the United States, wherever they might be, around the world, wherever they are able to listen to you and be able to worship you freely. And I thank you for your son, Yeshua, Jesus, dying on the cross for our sins, so we might be with him one day in heaven, and that you would continue to keep us safe in our homes, in our cars, at work, at school, everywhere that we'll be, every day. And I thank you for Kayla Padgett and Finding My Way Network, and that you would keep her safe. She's a great visionary and a great friend, and we hope that you'll bless her and give her everything that she needs. In Yeshua's name, amen. So I'm going to see you guys next time for Storytime with Princess Leah from the Sabbath. Nobody go watch Game Theory and Markiplier for me. Bye-bye.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the Internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S., or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.